This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio. And I'm delighted to say I am joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, Rob Edwards, who yet does not have a nickname, but it's coming. It will come to me. And we are joined by the guest, Julian Fern.
Evening.
Fern, no S. No S. Remember, because you used to say yes, but we got there in the end. I was like Colleen Rooney. I was an investigative journalist.
What journalist were you?
I wasn't
Please repeat. Come on, Charlie.
I wasn't a very good one. Well, this is the Leighton Orient Show. Don't focus on me. Do not focus on Colleen, because in the next hour, Leighton Orient are still without a new permanent manager. We're going to be talking all about that. Who could the new man be? There's a couple of favourites, but are they favourites with Rob and Julian? Is it the man they want in charge? We're going to be talking about those two games, the brilliant victory on the weekend to Northampton, which was an emotional day for both teams, and what a tribute it was to Justin Edinburgh. We're going to be talking all about that, and last night's 3-0 game, which was not good. But it was a different team, different lineup, and it's already forgotten. We won't focus too much on that, but we have to do our due diligence. We'll talk all about that, and then we'll look to the game on the weekend. Delighted to say Liam Keane, sports journalist for The Express and Star, will be joining us. But you can have your say. It's your team, your voice. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio, or call us on 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. Well, let's talk about that Northampton game to start with then, because it was a very good win. A clean sheet, which is nearly as important as the 3 points. We want the 3 points, but the clean sheet will always take after what we've spoke about the defence this season. I want to start though, because obviously it was an emotional day for Justin Edinburgh, but since it was announced that Ross was stepping down and we was looking for a new man in charge in the league, it's been two games, one win, one draw. The form has kind of picked up, hasn't it, Julian?
Yeah, I think the pressure is off. We said a couple of weeks ago, you know, when the manager has said, you know what, it's enough for me, takes the pressure off him a little bit, takes the pressure off the players. But reality is that I think the games, the last two games, the points are what we well deserve. So I think from my end is, good. It's good. It's good. And let's go into Saturday with that sort of momentum. I think you mentioned it a couple of weeks back, is having that momentum going into into Saturday, and hopefully we can pull off something there after Walsall were beat, I think, the weekend by Salford 3-0.
Because when you look at it, and all fans do it, not just Orient, you know, we're all guilty of it. We was on the show, weren't we? It was like, oh, the defence needs to improve. Where's that leadership at the back? Sometimes, you know, it's the individual errors that have cost Orient, the sloppy mistakes. And, you know, I looked at it and I couldn't believe it. We speak every week. It's the first time you've won in the league since the 20th of August. It certainly didn't feel like that. So, that's a great result. But, you know, those two back-to-back results, the draw against Port Vale and then the win against Northampton. Now I'm looking at the table and the fans, I spoke to a few other Orient fans, like, oh yeah, is this going all right now? We do this knee-jerk reaction, don't we? Like, or maybe, you know, we was getting worried for a few games. Now everything not seems to be rosy, but it seems to be slightly on the up and life looks a little bit better, doesn't it, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, all football fans are fickle. I think Orient are notoriously some of the most ficklest, if that's even a word, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
Well, I said my own word earlier, so
yeah,
it's fine.
I think we're just creating new words and memories since 12 weeks ago.
Or since 8 o'clock. Anyway.
Since 8 o'clock. I think the Port Vale, I don't think people can underestimate what that equaliser at Port Vale will do, because you lose that game 3-2, it's another home defeat. I think just snatching that draw, I know it's not good to be celebrating and dwelling too positively on a home draw, but it just made such a massive difference, especially after going behind so late, to show a lot of character to come back and get the equaliser. And I think you put that positivity then into the next game. Everyone's in a much better mood. And confidence is such a massive thing. I think if you're winning games, it just becomes easier. The goal looks bigger if you're scoring 10 in 10. If you're conceding goals, the goal looks absolutely massive. So I think that draw played a big part in the positivity. And yeah, from absolute shambolic defending against Port Vale to then a very solid clean sheet. I think we look good. I think there was a lot of surprise around the team selection initially, playing a few players that wouldn't necessarily have started. But I think Matt Harold was exceptional, magnificent. Brazil-esque ball over the top.
But that's where the leadership come from, isn't it? You know, that's the bit we say was missing, is that sort of leader out there. You know, you don't have to be a skipper with a C on your arm. You can lead from... That sounds wrong, sorry. You can lead
What's the matter with us tonight?
Yes, right. Put some music on.
Yeah. It's because Orient won. We don't know what to say. We're all at sea. Well, yeah.
But the other thing is, and listen, it's just me just making an observation. Yeah, we were very emotional the first game of the season against Cheltenham. And yes, on Saturday, very emotional, the tribute to Justin again. I don't know whether that has a little bit to play to the players, is that they just feel very deep that they want to do it and they want to do it proud. I know they want to do it every week because they're not going out there. And after we listened to Howard Gould last week talking about the camp is still buoyant, and that's really nice to hear. But I just think some of that just gives you that extra 1 or 2%, you know, because all those players knew Justin. And I think, again, that just drives you on. But the clean sheet for me was the biggest thing. That was the bit from last year we got very comfortable with, didn't we? Nicking games 1-0, 2-0 and keeping a nice clean sheet and a quick change early doors with Lingy going off. It helped us sort of Marvin coming on and stayed with the ship. So I'm really impressed and I'm really proud of the lads.
Yeah, it was a great result. Clean sheet it's obviously been a long time coming. I think what you can do, especially with obviously losing Justin, you can probably put too much pressure on yourself, and I think you want to try a little bit too hard. And I think we've probably seen that at various points during the season where you really just desperately want to go out and carry that form on and do it for him. And it can add a little bit of extra pressure and perhaps that can play on some of the performances. But I think it's starting to settle down now. I think hopefully we've been seeing a bit of a turning point now.
Well, let's talk about the atmosphere on the day and how emotionally charged the whole day was. Julian, was you at the game?
No. I was
in
the US.
Oh, you was away. Forgive me. And Rob, you wasn't there.
I was away as well.
So this is a really good question to ask you both. But I was going to say, obviously, I know you would have been there had you not had other engagements. I'm sure you spoke to other fans. But what was it like for the fans that were there? Because, you know, both clubs have a link to Justin. You know, it was a huge day. You obviously mentioned the Cheltenham game and how much that played a part. Then this day, obviously, and you got a result there. But what was it like on the day for both sets of fans, Julian?
I think the feedback I had, and some family members who were there, they were saying we took a good following, which was great. And I think the last time I went to Northampton, we took a good following. We're pretty loud. And I think also Justin's name was being sung for some crowd throughout the game and the end of the game as well. And I just think that sort of gave us that emotional charge that the players sometimes need from the fans. And we have been a little bit negative, probably on Twitter and social media, but I haven't really seen it in any games where I've been to, and I've been to the majority of those, where at least we stood by the team and still supporting. I think, again, just that emotion, that little bit of emotion extra in there around the Justin thing was really sort of, I think it always does, doesn't it? Of course it gets you. Even just talking about it now, you think a little bit of a sort of a heartbeat. You're thinking, God, that... Where were we sort of, where would we be, sorry, with Justin at the helm now, you know? So, but yeah, that's going to definitely make a big part. But we can't sort of deter from and keep on about that. I think the players now are sort of past that where they are with regards to sort of having to think about it day in, day out. Yes, it's always on their mind, but reality is now it's about the football, about what's going to go forward. And all of them have got a lot to play for with a new manager coming in. There's going to be someone in with a new regime.
There certainly is going to be a new manager. Let's talk about the one that is still there. It is Ross. And since that announcement, the results have been better. Can we put this down to anything? You know, the pressure's off, or just maybe the opponents you were playing? Why is that? Because it does feel weird that now that Ross has, you know, he's decided to step down, the players maybe are upping their effort levels a little bit. They want to play for him before the new man comes in. And you've had those two better results. Is there some correlation between those facts, Rob?
Possibly. Yeah, I think that there's all when the pressure's off, there's always people relax a little bit more. They're not as tense, and you might take chances where you might not necessarily do before. I'm pretty sure Harold has never put a ball over the top like he did on that.
You can't get over that, can you?
No, it was West
earlier.
It was.
I mean, ginger to ginger, the link. This must be telepathy. It must be straight over the top. So possibly that is to do with it. I think it's just such varied opposition, and you don't know what team, what Salford you're going to turn up against. Lose 4-0 at home and then win 3-0 away. It's quite an erratic league. It's still not really taking shape.
And even from a Northampton point of view, you know, we spoke to them last week. They were not overly confident of a win, but they thought they was going to beat you, didn't they? And then they've not scored against you, and they've lost 1-0 at home. I mean, this is a league where, I know we could say this about all leagues, but you can't really say that's a banker, that's a gimme, can you?
No, it's very tough. And also with our formations, I mean, we've still been gone a bit Ranieri, and we're just tinkling.
Easy.
Tinkling with with
tinkering.
Everything.
You said tinkling. No, I don't know what's happened on this show. I really don't. It's been one big eaten mess. That's what it's been on the Leighton Orient fan show. I think the win has gone straight to our heads. It's been 20th of August since the three of us, four of us, five of us, Adam and Brendan included, since we could speak about a win. We have to speak a little bit, though, about last night. And I know it wasn't the main focus. It's not the biggest priority in the world. And the side changed quite considerably. But still disappointed, I think, to lose to Wimbledon 3-0. Am I right, Julian, or completely wrong in saying that?
Listen, we're playing a club in a higher league. But my bit, and I always sort of... everyone's got an opinion on this cup, yeah? So we'll leave that. But if you was
prestigious, fantastic,
can't remember
incredible.
The name, can't remember all the names. but leasing.com cup, yeah? So and let's put it its proper name. But I think for players who are not playing every week, I never can quite get... If you get the opportunity, you don't care where you're playing... go and shine and do your best. And we didn't see that. And we were talking about it earlier. And that just sort of shows probably our lack of strength in depth. When a new manager comes in, definitely that forward line is something which they need to have a tinker of. We've got a couple of good players, and Harold's doing a good job in there. But you've got James Olabi, who, bless him, he's not going to be on sort of the team sheet very often under a new manager. I think there was a very emotional reason why they kept him, took him off the transfer list at the end of last season. So we definitely are struggling in that ilk. But I think the other players, Louis Dennis, some of the defence, and generally so that the players are not playing week in, week out, should have the opportunity and really should step it up. And I didn't think we saw that last night.
Well, you didn't see it last night. I feel bad if I don't mention the keeper on the weekend, because what a save at the end to make sure you got the 3 points, with someone we have spoke about on the show, Brill. You know, he's made a few errors and we've spoke about him, and it's only rightly so that when he does have a good performance and make saves like that to ensure you do get 3 points, we have to give praise as well, don't we, Julian?
Yeah, agree.
All right, well, that's that then. He agrees. I thought you might elaborate, but no, it was a good save and the praise is there. Well, we will be talking because Ross has stepped down. Which manager could be next? There is a slight few favourites. We're going to be talking about which one could get the announcement next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, Rob Edwards, and the guest, Julian Fern. We were just talking about those games because they do come thick and fast. The victory against Northampton on the weekend and that disappointing 3-0 defeat to Wimbledon last night. But like we said, since Ross announced that he was stepping down, there have been two games. There was an announcement this week that we could see a new manager within the next 5 to 7 days. We're feeling like we're getting closer. Rumour has it that it could be Colin Calderwood. Oh, not happy in the studio. Well, that's the question that I was going to ask. And Adams, who you both mentioned, I think you mentioned him. Yeah.
I think the guys, yeah.
Who you would be quite, would be quite pleased about that. Let's start with Calderwood then. Rumoured to be one of the two favourites. Rob, how do you feel about that?
Obviously, experience at this level, worked at academies previously, had a good career, best mates with Martin Ling. I think he always thanked him for taking a bit of pressure off when we went and beat Oxford and got promoted in 05 when his Northampton team equalised against Grimsby in the last minute. I think that was a cheer 10 seconds before the biggest cheer of all. So I know he played with him at Swindon, I think, as well. So I know they're very good friends, but it seems quite an obvious one, really. I mean, I think we desperately need someone completely unrelated from the club to come in and not, in the nicest possible way, not look at what's... It's going to be everywhere, but not focus on what's happened before and just look at getting the players back to the sort of levels they need to be doing every week, and just coming for a fresh set of eyes and put them all to the sword, basically. I think Calderwood would be quite an obvious choice and quite close to Ling I wouldn't be particularly excited by that.
Quite average. You look at the stats, are quite average, aren't they? You see where he's been.
He's done okay. But he's not. I don't think he's going to come in, and he doesn't seem like the sort of personality that's going to come up and just live in the dressing room. He seems quite a sort of solemn sounding bloke in the nicest possible way. I think we need a bit of a character. And like with Adams, a lot of people don't. We don't particularly like him as a person because of what he's done at Plymouth and the way he comes across to opposition fans, but. I'd rather
Absolutely.
Have someone that I don't like who does very well than someone who I like and doesn't really do very well.
Well, maybe partly a reason for that dislike is he's done well at other places and now it'd be nice to have him at the helm. He's the other one that's rumoured to be in with a shout, Julian. So out of those two, for you, definitely Adams.
Yeah, I think you just sort of we talked about it last week or the week before. He's got a disciplinary background. I think he doesn't suffer fools. He lays his cards out on the table. This is what we're going to do. So we're going to do it. And he's a little bit more, it's my way. Get on the message. I don't think he'll come and disrupt too much. And I think we talked about this earlier. But no manager who comes in, whoever it is, can't come in and go, you know what, it's a rebuilding process. That's a lot of, you know what, because we've got great players in there. As I said earlier, I think we probably need to look at our strikers. But reality is, across the team, we've got a League Two side. They should be hitting that ground running. So if Calderwood can do it and get us up at League, Adams, Curry, Noland, Father Christmas, whoever it may be, if they can do the job, get us buzzing, great. But what we're going to need to remember is that I don't think they're going to be wholesale player changes. So they've got, like Justin did, came in with that same squad and turned him into an amazing team.
Is there an option, Julian, that could backfire in a sense that, you know, everyone, it was very man management style, wanted to play for Justin, you know, arm around the shoulder, and, you know, he did have him well drilled, and then you've got someone like Derek Adams who comes in, you know, and it's going to be, in your words, his way, come in, start calling the shots, and the players are going to be like, whoa, because it was a bit seamless with Ross. Could that backfire in a sense that, who's this guy coming in now? He's saying, you know, jump high and we've got to dance to his tune. We're not really ready for that 10 games.
Don't we think, though, Justin was the same way? I think Justin was a bit of disciplinarian. That's the right word.
I don't think to the same level as
Adams. Listen, they're not going to be the same, but it was, this is the way we're going to play, how we're going to play it. You know, it's come on the journey with me. I don't think Derek Adams may not be that same character, but let's look at his form and what he's done and what he nearly did with Plymouth, where nearly sort of going again.
I've interrupted you, so I apologise. But I was going to say, I think you're right. You said wasn't Justin like that, but I think he was. But I think the players wanted to run through a brick wall for him. Not in a sense that they wouldn't with Adams, but I believe Justin was your friend and your manager, and he had the quality to switch between the two. I don't think Derek will ever want to be your friend. I'm the manager and you're okay. Player.
I think both of them demand respect.
Yeah,
completely. So, but it's respect driven in different ways.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say. Derek Adams wouldn't have been my top of my choice, you know, and I've said that
many times. Who would?
Ian Holloway. If he turns up, I'm going to take all the money you guys can throw at me, because I know everyone out there saying that they're rubbish. But I think that sort of character in the club, he's had a good career. You know, he's not the best career. You know, you can talk to QPR fans, but he's done the lower leagues. He's been around. He's a character. He's quite media friendly. A Twitter lover as well, which we found out this evening.
Only recently, joined Twitter. I believe that he wants a career now. You know, him joining Twitter in this media world, he's on the radio a lot, he's on the TV a lot. I'm going to throw it out there. Could be wrong. I get a feeling we won't see Ian Holloway manage again.
Yeah, but you can keep hoping, can't you?
You can. Would you go along with that, Rob? Would you want Ian Holloway? Who's the name that maybe we're not talking about for you? Secret option number three.
Well, obviously, I made it clear last week. I think Derek Adams is the player is the manager I think we need. But I think looking kind of down the list of odds, I think someone like Nigel Adkins would be.
That's a massive shout.
It would be. He's dropped down to lower leagues before. He's proven Premier League, and I think managed in every division. I think he's probably more in the Justin mould than Derek Adams. I think he comes across as quite a likeable, down to earth person. Probably put their arm around people when they need it and give them a kick up the jacksie when they need it as well. So probably a completely off the radar, absolutely no chance. But I think looking down the list of a lot of the others that have been linked with it, I think he would be one that I'd love to see.
Well, I'm not sure if he's been linked with it, but another name I want to throw into the mix, because he just left his job and it was a London club, Neil Harris has left Millwall. What about Leighton Orient? Could we see him come in and do a job there? How would you feel about that? Because he's done let's be honest, he's done well with Millwall under the circumstances, the budgets they have. You know, I know people aren't fans of the football they necessarily play, but he's done well there, kept them in the Championship. I know they were struggling this year, but they're a good side. How would you feel about that?
Oh, 100%. But I think you go somewhere like Sunderland. I think he's too big a name
for us. They want to play attractive football. They say that Neil Harris doesn't play that type
of football.
They
want to win games. I think that's the first look. I wouldn't be disappointed with Harris. I think he comes from a characterism that will bode well with the O's. I don't know. I don't know much about him as a person, but as you say, you can't be playing in the Championship for that long and being that sort of his great career he's had and not be a half decent federal footballer.
Does it, not that it doesn't help, but you know, with them looking for a new manager, I know there's a couple of leagues apart, but you're looking for a manager as well. Is that sort of maybe come at the wrong time that they're searching as well, Rob?
I think that there's always managers looking for jobs. I mean, UK or England, Scotland, overseas.
National setups.
Yeah. There's always managers out of work. It's a shame that this early in the season there are so many people looking. Obviously, people leaving for different reasons. So I think there's always that competition. And even when every job is filled, there's 150, 200 seasoned Football League managers that are knocking on doors and waiting for heads to roll so they can get an opportunity. Yeah. So I think there's always that level of competition. And it's always going to be like that, I think.
We spoke about Sol Campbell as well, and I think
it's like you read my mind. I was just going to ask.
I don't think
we spoke about it on the show. I think it was in between when we was off air. So let's quickly talk about, if we haven't, Sol Campbell.
So there's rumours at Southend. I think him and Larson are sort of battling out for the Southend job. I don't know. I think the opinion would be pretty sort of split with those fans whether we'd want him.
Where do you fall then on that split?
Do you know what? Probably no. From the way I think he holds himself and the way he sort of communicates to the media and that rubs me personally up the wrong way. He may be a great football coach. I'm not going to knock him there, but no, I'm probably sort of erring now sort of in reality to Adams. I would be disappointed with Caldwell, if I'm honest. I really would. I just don't think that's going to go take us on again. I think we'll be League Two and just be okay in League Two, but nothing like we were going like a steam train before under Justin.
Rob, Sol Campbell, not for you, really.
No, I think he does put some very weird Twitter videos out as well, which I think is quite disturbing.
Well, Julian wants Ian Holloway. I think there'll be a few videos of them coming.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think it's just not because of his personality or the way he comes across or what he's done at Macclesfield. I don't, he's obviously done a quite good job at Macclesfield, but I don't think he has enough experience. I think we need someone who's been in a bit of a seasoned manager. Sol's had three quarters of a season.
Yeah, but if we say that, how do you get that experience? Is that old
age?
I mean,
you have to, but I think we're in a position we specifically need someone who has a lot more experience in first-team management, people management. Sol will probably go on to be a great manager, and you have to learn somewhere and build up. And there'll probably be a team when he might take over mid-table doing well, and he can bed himself in and get a lot more experience. But I think we just need someone with a lot more experience who's been around the block a little bit more, especially at that level consistently. So I think purely just for experience, I think I wouldn't want to see him.
Charlie, what about you? What's your thoughts
on who Orient should appoint? It's a tough one because obviously I've been watching it, talking to you, all of you, the Eat a Mess podcast. I feel like the next, I don't want to say few appointments, are going to be tricky because we're always going to be looking at what Justin done. And as much as you can't compare it, unfortunately, we live in a world where we are going to compare. So that's difficult. And it's going to be the same staff because they want to keep that continuity. It's the same players. So it is very difficult for that next manager to stamp his authority and his identity on the side. This is my worry with Adams, even though I do believe he would be the right choice. But I worry that move could backfire. Obviously, if he goes on an amazing run, then hindsight's a beautiful thing and no one cares about it. That would be my worry. Who else can we get? I'm not crazy on the Calderwood appointment. Very similar, you know, his record's not great. I think it's a brilliant valid point that you made about wanting to take that next step. And you can't all, you have to be ambitious. You want to look to take that next step. But Orient do want to establish themselves as a League Two side first before they, I know they'd like to jump through the leagues like Lincoln, but you want to establish yourself, because if you do it too quick, then you can fall back just as quickly, if not quicker. It's hard though. I think you need the right man for the job, in a sense that needs to know the character and the culture of the club. I know you want that disciplinarian, and that's Derek Adams' style. I just feel, for me, and I know you say Justin was, but I never got that with Justin. I felt like he could switch in a way that's a compliment. He was your mate and he was your boss. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think it's Derek, it's, you know, he says jump, you say how high very, very quickly. I don't think that fits. I think you need someone. I don't think you can get him, but like a Chris Hughton. And I actually believe, and I know I'm going to really go against the grain here, because you said there is a split on the camp, I think Sol Campbell would be a brilliant appointment, because I do believe he will be a very good coach. He just hasn't been in the right surroundings, in the right situation, you know, to be backed with the players he wants. I think Orient will give him that time. It's in London. I just think it ticks boxes for Sol. It's the perfect project opportunity that he's wanted, that he wants to talk about. It's attractive for him. And I believe he will play football. And I know he's not a seasoned veteran in terms of experience for managerial status, as Rob mentions, but he is in terms of playing. Let's not forget, this man has played in Europe, Champions League, got to a Champions League final. He's played many internationals, World Cups, European Cups. This man has been there, you know. He knows how to work with players, get the best out of them, what works. He's seen it at Arsenal. I've heard him say, you know, there was the way that Arsene Wenger would deal with the players that, you know, wanted to be flamboyant and flash and would need to be told they're the star, than the other players who wanted to dash off to the pub, or the other players who, you know, you needed to sort of give them a kick up the what's-its to make sure they was in tune. And I'm not saying, because he's got that experience, we've seen the best of footballers don't make the best of managers, but for the situation Orient are in at the minute, I believe Sol Campbell would be a good candidate.
Okay.
There was my rant or my monologue.
No, that's good. That's good. Fair, because we're seeing it from a different view. Yeah, you're seeing it from just a very sort of top level football fan, and you support a team that Sol's play for. So that, I think that's.
But that is genuinely, if anyone knows me, not why I would say it. Because I could easily say many ex pros, not the right person for the job. But there's something I just don't know why, and I could easily be wrong on this, because I'm wrong about 99.9% things I talk about. So it might not be a good job, but there's just something that tells me the job. Robert McAsree, I just feel like he will make a good coach. Could be easily wrong. We've yet to see it properly, but he hasn't stayed at a side for too long. And that was my only concern with Derek Adams, whether just, you know, that disciplinarian thing. That worries me, because I think he is, and it's not, this isn't an insult to him, but he's the extreme version of discipline, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Look at it. Yeah.
You know, let's do another lap, let's do another run. Anyway, before I carry on, because Derek will probably be announced tonight and no one will ever talk to me again, certainly not in the ETMS podcast here on Love Sport Radio, but we will be looking at that game, Walsall, on the weekend.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the E10MS podcast, Rob Edwards, and the guest, Julian Fern. And you can get involved. You can be with us here in the studio. Well, nearly. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. You can also WhatsApp on that same number. We want to hear from you tonight. Before we look at that Walsall game, we are obviously talking about a potential new manager. Someone will be in charge hopefully within the next 7 days. Ross will step down, even though the results have been slightly better over that time. And a lot that we've spoke about on this show has been formations, tactics. One of the things that's really sort of been a bugbear for us, if the new man comes in, what formations, what tactics would you want them to play to get the best out of the current squad you have at your disposal, Rob?
I think, obviously, the 5-3-2 I hope we don't see again.
Abolish,
because...
Apart from Saturday.
It's just that defensively, you'd think 5-3-2 would make you quite a solid team. We were last season, but for some reason this season, it's just not clicking, and we're all over the place. We're conceding goals. And in 5-3-2, you need two wing-backs who are very good going forward, and we don't really have that. So I think I've really enjoyed watching us play in the 4-3-3 formation, where we've got... Obviously, Angle, when he's back, Brophy looked really good on Saturday going forward. Obviously, got a goal. He's not a defensive player, and he can be unplayable when he's that far up the pitch. Mm. Wilkinson or Harold as a sort of a target man. I know Wilkinson played wide on Saturday with Harold up front, but I think we've not really been a team that we've never really been a 4-3-3 team. We've never really been a team that just really goes gung-ho at the opposition. I mean, I know obviously when we came close 4 or 5 years ago, we scored a lot of goals and looked really good, but that was kind of the 4-4-2 formation. We just had good players in the right position playing really well. So the formation is obviously one thing. I think just playing players in the position where they can be most effective is alongside that. I mean, you can play 4-3-3 and not have the right people in the right places, but I think that's something that Ross has struggled to find is playing everyone where they need to be, or trying to shoehorn people into the team, which is obviously with the connection he's got with them and how they played last season. I think with that new manager that will come in, he'll look at every player on his own merit and decide where he thinks they should play and build a formation around that. And I'd just like to see us go forward, because we can be quite exciting going forward, and there's been games where we've looked very good and scored a lot of goals this season. I'd just like to see something a bit more positive.
But you look at that squad, you know, we got the side for 4-3-3. You've got some really good attacking players. I'm really impressed with, I see Harold. I wasn't a Harold fan overly the last couple of years. But I just, the maturity of the guy, and I think Saturday proved a lot that he can hold the ball up, he control, he's very calculated. Something we missed this season without having Joby in the side. Joby always seemed like he had another minute on the ball than anyone else, so lots of time. And Harold was the same. I just think that comes from maturity. So for me, going 4-4-2, I've been impressed with Connor this season. I think that, again, split opinion on the terraces, but I just think he's slowly becoming a good fan's favourite, because I think he does work hard. He does have the attitude a bit where you see him shrug his shoulders and sort of looks like he can't be bothered. But reality is, I think he's very good in the ball. I think he needs that other person alongside him, and Harold plays really well with him. So on a 4-4-2, great at the moment until Angel's back. But if and when Angel's back, I think I'll revert into a 4-3-3. But like Rob said, go back to a 5, and then we're just going to stifle any forward approach, because we just haven't got the players, and you'll be playing players in positions that they shouldn't be playing in.
Square pegs in round holes. The new manager will obviously have thoughts and ideas how he wants to play, how he rates the players, because it's all subjective. Could we see not any casualties, and not to put a downer on it, but players who could be at risk of maybe falling out under the new manager, being on the periphery of the team and not making it under the new guy?
Yeah, probably. Like any manager's going to come with his own opinions. I think the ones that we talked about a little bit earlier, the James Alabi-esque players, I think you'll see those go quite quickly. I think the emotion won't be there like it was with the club over the summer. I think you'll see some of the younger guys go out on loan and get some game time, and then go in at Christmas and bring in a couple of experienced players that he's known over his career, or people that the club still the right players to fit in the system, wherever that may be we're going to play. So, yeah, I think there will be. And I think there needs to be. And I think it needs to be to sort of move things forward. And again, I said earlier, I think what you could do with another prolific goal scorer, really.
I think looking at the game last night, I mean, there was an opportunity for some of the fringe players to cause a few problems, and they haven't really... they didn't really do that. So I think that it's obvious there's 3 or 4 that are just not really up to it. Alabi obviously mentioned, I don't think Gorman offers anything at all. He's not really a specialist in any area of midfield. I think we need someone quite creative to come in. Like Joby, I'm not sure how long Joby was going to be out for, but he's got that eye. He can pick out a pass, get players out wide in that 4-3-3 formation. He can get the wing forwards involved in the game. There's a few players in there that I don't think will make a grade, and I guess in January he'll have the freedom to bring a few players in. I think as a core of a team, there's a lot of ability in there. It's just a case of supplementing that and making a lot better competition for places. And like Julian said, with the youngsters, I mean, Sotiriou called up to the Cypriot under-21 team, scored against Holland under-21, scoring in the youth team. Been a professional for about 18 months now. He's not really had a chance, but you can see he scores goals, and the same with Hector and Shabani in the middle. Ogis look good, Sweeney's look good when he's played. I'd like to see a couple more experienced players, preferably one or two a bit more sort of creative midfield and bringing some of the youngsters in and giving them a chance, really.
Certainly. And I know it wasn't it was a few games ago, but we didn't really speak about it. The game against Port Vale, it was a 6-goal thriller, 3-3, but obviously afterwards both teams got fined for the on the field melee, as they're calling it. What did you make of that, and was that fair, that fine? Was it all handbags, Julian?
You know what? I didn't take much notice. I think it's just as right. As soon as people start raising their hands, again, the interpretation from the referees is going to be always one that's going to be sort of taken into consideration. I think for me, Connor does have that sort of, want of a better word, nasty streak in his ability and his play. And when he played for Dagenham against us last Boxing Day, and I think he was the first striker I saw against the Orient give us a real tough time. And it wasn't because he was a great football player at the time. He was actually very physical, knew how to get in the heads of the opposition. So I think that's got in. But whatever it will be, the fine's a fine. Move on.
There you go. we'll move on, Rob. What can we add to it?
There was nothing in it to me. I think you see that really in some capacity most weeks at most grounds. It was 30 seconds of pushing and shoving, a bit of collar grabbing, but it was nothing really.
Well, it may be the international break this weekend, but no one cares about the international break because the real football is continuing. Life in League 2 does continue against Walsall on the weekend. We'll be talking to Liam King, sports journalist for The Express and The Star, next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
That's right. It's time for the opposition view. You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the guest, Julian Firm and Rob Edwards. And also, you can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. But I'm delighted to say someone who has phoned in and joined us now, Liam Keane, sports journalist for The Express and Star. Liam, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time this evening. Huge game on the weekend because the real football does continue. Leighton Orient versus Walsall. Leighton Orient got that victory on the weekend. They're feeling better. No new manager of yet. What are your thoughts ahead of this one?
Hi there, Charlie. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I mean, as you're right, it's this is where the real football is, isn't it? League Two. I mean, as you say, Leighton Orient coming off a win, and Walsall coming off, unfortunately, a really bad loss by the sounds of it. I say by the sounds of it because I actually, unfortunately, missed the game on Saturday. A pre-booked holiday took up my time. But unfortunately, Walsall won such a great run. They'd won four games in a row, including the EFL Trophy game against Southampton's kids as well. So they won a real trajectory after one win in eight before that. So it was really looking quite good, and especially when you look at the Crawley game as well away, because Crawley have been flying so far in the league, and to go away and score three goals away there, come away with a deserved victory as well, 3-2. I think the fans were getting a bit excited. Daryl Clark's got a sort of history of attacking football, exciting football, getting clubs out of this league and also out of the National League as well. So it was excitement, and they got brought down to earth a little bit against Salford on Saturday.
So obviously back down into League 2 after being out of it for a while. I'm not sure actually how long you were out of the League 2, but probably how long have you been out of League 2?
Oh, you're testing my trivia now. I think you're looking towards 10-ish years.
Yeah,
I think,
10-ish.
Off the top of my head.
Obviously, looking at League 2 over the years, obviously probably not around to remember Walsall back in League 2. But how do you think League 2's changed in terms of what we need to actually get out of the division? And we spoke about this with a guest the previous week. We've come back into League 2 after not that long, and we've seen a significant difference. So what have you noticed over the years of League 2, how it's improved and what you need to get out of it?
I think, tell me if anyone thinks differently. I think the football is actually better. I think there's teams are more inclined to play, and by play I mean they're not hoofing it up to sort of big, strong football league centre halves as you imagine. Centre forwards rather, but there obviously still is that in the game, and Walsall do at times do that themselves. But I think the football's better, and I think now if you're going to get forward, you need to play or get up rather to play two strikers. which Walsall are trying to do, and have fast, tricky wingers, which a lot of the teams, i.e. Crawley a couple of weeks ago, are doing. So the teams that are doing well in this league, I think, are utilising that. I say two strikers because I know it's fashionable nowadays to play the one, but I think the majority of the teams in this league do play two strikers, Walsall being one of them. Every game in the league so far, regardless of formation, has been two strikers. And it's that attacking football, I think, that gets you out of this league the best. The problem for a lot of teams is getting out of this league and staying out of this league, and Walsall have been very good at that in recent years. I mean, historically, they've been either side of League One on a couple of occasions, but historically, they're a League One club. So they'll be looking to get out as soon as possible. Whether you're going to ask me that in a second, whether it's likely this season or not, is yet to be determined, because goal scoring's not been quite there yet. It hasn't clicked as the way I'd describe it.
You talk about strikers there, and just reviewed that Rory Gefty's joined you from Salford. So he was a player for Darrell Clark when he was down at Bristol Rovers.
Yes,
so.
Right.
He'll be a striker that, if he came on the market, that I love the Orient to sign. I think he's been fairly good against us. I don't think he's been prolific in his career, but he just seems to have something a little bit about him. He's quite a quick player and quite direct. Do you think you see him get on Saturday?
Yeah, I expect him to start again on Saturday. I think the way you described him there is pretty accurate, and he actually is. Probably slightly the opposite of the type of footballer I was talking about in League Two nowadays. He is a big, strong lad. The ball will come flying into him. He'll hold the ball. He'll bring some of the trickier players, Wes McDonald, Josh Gordon, the players around him. He'll bring them into play. So you've hit the nail on the head there again. His problem is he's not prolific. I, off the top of my head now, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think he hasn't scored since February. So that's obviously for Salford as well. So it's a long time for a striker not to get on the score sheet. He's joined Walsall now. He came in on loan from Salford, and his first game was the Coventry EFL Trophy game. And since then, he's played every game bar the Salford game last week for obvious reasons. So, and still haven't scored yet. But every time he's on the pitch, I feel like he improves Walsall. He is the kind of player, as I just said, he'll bring the ball in. He looks after it well. He's got a good touch for quite a big lad as well. So he's very good on the ball. He's very good technically, and he just needs that goal. And I'll say it, I'm sort of blue in the face, and you'll probably get fed up with me saying it on here, but it just hasn't quite clicked yet for the club and for the strikers. So that's where it's going wrong. And I think if Gaffney, as with most of their strikers, if he can get himself off the mark, get a lucky goal, something bounces off his shin, something like that, maybe then from there on they'll be sort of up and running.
Well, let's hope that's not on Saturday. Very happy for it to be the following week, and he's a good striker. I'm sure he'd get into most League Two teams. But obviously, talking about your strikers, it looks like your leading goal scorer is a defender, if I'm not mistaken. So, is it kind of set piece dangers? Is that what we've got to look out for?
Unfortunately, not actually. No. Just for anyone that doesn't really, I suppose most of your listeners won't follow Walsall, so they won't be quite familiar with it so far, but. James Clark, the captain, centre-half. He actually has played the last two games in right-back, but he's sort of naturally a centre-half. He scored three goals in the league, highest goal scorer. Keelan Lavery, he is a striker that's currently out injured at the moment. He has scored three so far this season, but one of them is in the cup. So in the league, it's our centre-half. And the reason being for that is he scored two absolute worldies in two games. He scored the overhead kick against Scunthorpe at home, and he scored the 35-yard screamer against Crawley the other week as well. So, two massively important goals. I think the importance of the goals is probably more important than the actual nature of what the goal was, and despite them being amazing. But they haven't come from set pieces. His one goal, apart from those two worldies that I was talking about, was on the opening day of the season, which was a set piece, a header from a corner against Northampton, which was the winning goal. So, apart from that, I think as far as I'm just thinking off the top of my head, that is the only set piece goal Walsall have scored this season. So set pieces aren't really, whether that's something that Darrell Clark's working on, they're not really a threat. So it's difficult for me to say where the threats are actually coming from, because they're getting some decent results, obviously the Salford game aside, but the threat and the goal scoring as I say, hasn't clicked, and that's where it's difficult to identify the threat, because essentially it was a bit of luck, really. Two amazing goals. And I suppose the picture is skewed slightly for opposition fans who might think that he's a danger from set pieces if they haven't seen the highlights.
Well, Liam, we have to put you on the spot. He wasn't a threat, but who is the threat? Because we want to know a score prediction from you now. Remember, this is the Leighton Orient fan show.
Well, yeah, certainly, yeah. But I think if any of the Sellers fans on Twitter are listening to this, I'm sure they'll be expecting me to say. But I do genuinely think, I think Darryl Clarke will be looking for a reaction. He's not a man, from what I can tell in my short time with him so far, to mess around is probably the best way to put it. I think he's a very good manager as well. So I think I'm going to go for an away win, a Walsall win. You guys will be pleased for me to say that. But I think in terms of the danger men, we're looking at Wes McDonald on the wing. He's on a short-term contract at Walsall. He was at Yeovil before that. He is a young lad. He's 22. He's looking to prove himself in the Football League, basically, after coming through the Birmingham City Academy. So he's a player who he's a winger. He gets on the ball. He's quite a sort of stocky, short lad, but he's very, very quick, very tricky, step-overs the whole lot. And he's the only player of that type that Walsall have actually got, really. They don't have a player that offers the same threat that he does. He's only come into the team in terms of a starting position in the last three games. And against Crawley, got an assist and a goal. So he's really come into his own, and he's what gets the fans up. And
Liam, the suspense is killing me. What is your score prediction? I don't know what you're going to throw at me. I can't believe it.
Well, I wasn't finished that. I was just about to get onto Elijah Adebayo.
This is the Orient fan show. You're turning this into the Walsall fan show. I see what you're trying to do here on Love Sport Radio.
I like the sound of my own voice a little bit.
No, mate, we've enjoyed having you on.
I'm going to go with a 2-1 away win. Wes McDonald to get on the assist sheet, and Gaffney to get his first goal for the club. If that's not specific enough for you, then I can't give anything.
Liam, you're an absolute diamond. I want to get you on again. We will hopefully speak to you later on in the season. Liam Keane there, sports journalist for The Express and Star. We are running out of time, but before I get your score prediction, there's a few things we want to do. Housekeeping, shall we call it? Leighton Orient women there in action tonight.
Yeah, sadly, they go into a game against Wimbledon themselves, unbeaten both clubs, and we're currently losing 1-0. So if the knowledge can actually get on Twitter and start doing his job properly down there, we could get an update past 42 minutes. But sadly, we're hopefully they'll nick a goal.
All right, well, let's do score prediction. We'll stay with you quickly, Julian. Score prediction
2-1,
on the weekend.
2-1 Orient.
2-1 Orient. Rob.
We were deemed, and I quote, ever cheerful on Twitter earlier. So
we're not sure if it was serious or not.
I'm pretty sure it's serious by looking at his face. So I'm going to keep it ever cheerful and say 3-1-0s.
3-1-0s. There you go. To continue that form since Ross announced he was stepping down. Come on, the O's. They beat Northampton 1-0. They are looking to make it two wins back-to-back after getting that first win since the 20th of August. But this has been the Leighton Orient fan show with the E10 Mess podcast on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, Rob Edwards, and the guest, Julian Fern. And you can listen to it every week, every Wednesday at 8 till 9. Leighton Orient Fan Show. It's your team. It's your voice. Why be anywhere else?
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.